Okay, Rabbi said this week is Parashas. We have a double header this week, Parashas Bahar Bichul Kosai. And don't forget that the Haftarah is the Haftarah from the second parasha, Parashas Bichul Kosai, Hashem Uzi Uma Uzi. Uzi Uma Uzi. Did I pronounce it correctly? Hashem Uzi. Uzi Uma Uzi. Okay. Hashem is my strength. Double form of strength. Okay, so the first thing I want to point out to review something we mentioned during the week is that it's very interesting to keep in mind that Parashas Bichul Kosai in ancient times, if not mistaken, was laned 7 times a year. How isn't that amazing? Parashas Bichul Kosai in ancient times was laned at least 7 times a year. We should know Baal Peh on the tip of our tongue. There is no section of the Torah that is laned as often, except maybe for Rosh Chodesh, Karbani Lachmi Lishai, okay, Karban Tamid, okay, so that's 12 times a year. So that, except for Rosh Hashanah, we don't lane Rosh Hashanah, but just that little section, but also not the entire, just the Torah, right, but except for the last Aliyah of Parashas Arochen. That, and what follows, that indeed was not laned. How was it laned 7 times a year? It's the Mefarish Mishnah. The Mishnah says that on a Tainis, you lane brochois uklolois, which means in the dalit soimos, which is Shabbos v'Tammuz, Asar b'Teves, some Gedalia and Tisha B'Av. This was the original custom. The original custom was to lane Parshas Bichul Kosai. Okay, that's already 4 times a year. Tainis Esther, Lachaira, also they lane the same thing. They lane on a Tainis, and then if it happened to be there was a special Tainis for Atziras Geshamim or any Eitz Zara. The minig was to learn again Parashas Bichul Kosai, the Barachai Suklolis. At some point in time, the Goinim, it's not clear why, the Goinim decided they're not going to learn any more Parashas Bichul Kosai. Maybe it was too scary. People didn't want to take the Aliyah of the Teichacha, so they switched it to, based upon what it says in the Tosefta, to learn Vayichal. Like what we do, Bizman Hazeh, we learn Vayichal Moshe, Espinei Hashem Elokav, the Yod Gimel Midoy Sorachan. And this switched in the time of the Goinim, based upon, if I'm not mistaken, a Tosefta. But the Mishnah, it's a Pella, because the Mishnah, the Beferish Mishnah, what we should do, what we in fact do not do.
How many times did you learn
Vayichal? Same thing, 5 times. 5 times. Not that, though. Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av, also we switched. Tisha B'Av, the meaning became to learn Kisei Libanim. So we lay in Vayichal 4 times. The Dalit, the 3 of the 4 Dalit Tzoymois, and Tainis Esther. Tainis Esther.
Plus Shabbos
Vayisro. Okay, so that's only 5 times. Okay, so very good. So therefore it's going to be 4 or 5 times. But it used to be. What else did we lay in? This laning was the Kriyas HaTorah Parsha for Shmini Atzeres. Before Shmini Atzeres was observed as Simchas Torah, so Shmini Atzeres, they lane Parshas Bichul Kosai V'Nosati Gishmeichem Bi'itam. Since it is the Zman Shmini, what better Kriyas HaTorah could there be in the Torah? What better Kriyas HaTorah could there be in the Torah than Parshas Bichul Kosai? Because Shmini Atzeres is the day that we are mispalel for Geshem, right? It's the day of Geshem, Tfilas Geshem. So if you want to go find the Kriyas HaTorah, I mean, the ideal thing is V'nosati Gishmeichem Bi'itam. V'nos Naretz Yivulah V'etz Hasod Ayitain Piryo. And once we mention the Brachos, we mentioned the Musar that goes along with it, the Toichacha. And then Parshas HaShavua. Okay, Parshas Shavua is Parshas Bichul Kosai. So what I want to point out is that it used to be the Kriyas HaTorah that had the record. Besides Rosh Chodesh, this was something which was very, very common, very popular. Today, we only lane it once a year. It's been reduced to once a year. Only on time we lane is going to be on Parashas Bichul Kosai. But we should appreciate how chovev and choshev this kriya is, in that it used to be very unique, very common. So again, the appreciation, it demands of us that we should appreciate what it is. Chazal also, we have a very short Gemara. The Gemara says there's a very important Maimon Chazal that Ezra was misaken that we should lay Parshas, the Brachos. Okay, Ezra was misaken. Ezra was misaken that we should lay before. Ezra, before Shavuos and before Rosh Hashanah, we should learn the Klolos, the Tochacha. Why? Because the Maimon Chazal, Tichle Shana v'kile lo yiseha, Tochel Shana u'bircho yiseha. We want the year to end. We want the Klolos of the year to end, and we want the year to begin with new brachas. So therefore, certainly when it comes to Aleph, Aleph Tishrei certainly is considered to be the new year. And what's very interesting is that Shavuos, in the eyes of Chazal, is considered to be the Rosh Hashanah. And because Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah, so we want to make sure that all of the klolos of the previous year come to an end, and we start off with a clean slate. So therefore, we Ezra was misakin that it is a must that we should work out the Kriya Sator that we read Parshas Bichukosai before the Yom Tif of Shavuos. And that is what we are being mekayim this week. Now, what's really interesting to point out is there's still a hefsek. We don't want to mamish make the Teichacha right next to Shavuos, so therefore we do it a week before, just like we learned Parshas Kisavit also a week before. We don't want it to be mamish very, very late, because that's also not a good simi. We want there to be a little bit of a hefsek. So we do 2 weeks before, but indeed this Shabbos, we have to appreciate, is considered to be the end of the year. The end of the year, and anytime you come to an end, it is a time to reflect, a time to take inventory, a time to see where we could do better next time around. What's also very interesting is that where do you have in Chazal and Makar that Shavuos should be Rosh Hashanah? What? Yes, I just mentioned that, is that when we do at the end, we don't do the end mamish, because that's not a good simen to conclude with Teichacha and immediately go into a Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Chazal said you have to have a hefsek. You do it the second to last week of the year. Just like Parshas Kisava is always the second to last week of the year, likewise, Parshas Bichukosai is always the second to last week of Shavuos. But the question is, why is Shavuos considered to be Rosh Hashanah? Manavshach. Rosh Hashanah is either going to be Aleph Nisan or it's going to be Aleph Tishrei. Since when is Vav Sivan Rosh Hashanah? Finally, we're calling Chazal.
There was what? No Sefer Torah. There was no Amishol. The Chazal of the Torah.
So what? In the calendar, is it called Rosh Hashanah?
You have a Melech as a king. That's his.
No, a melech, a Jewish king, goes after Nisan, a non-Jewish king is after Tishrei. So since where in the world do you have in Chazal and Makar that Shavuoy should be Rosh Hashanah? Ad kedei kach, Ezra was misaking that we should learn Parshas Bichukosai the week before Shavuos, because Tichle Shana v'kilelo secha, the curse of the year should come to an end. The answer is, it's a matter of perspective. And we all know in our own lives, if you're having a very significant event, getting married, you're having a child, you're looking forward to a simcha in the family, the whole year revolves around this event. When it comes, let's say, tax season for an accountant, this time of the year, that's it. You can't talk to me at this time of year. This is the critical event. I'm taking the bar. I'm taking my finals. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. When you have something in your mind that is so important, everything in your life revolves around that date. And in your mind, it's the Rosh Hashanah. It's what's critical. And in fact, later in life, you're always making calculations based upon that day. People, they calculate my anniversary. How many years? Oh my! Now. This is my anniversary. Or this was the time when I got engaged. Or this is the time when I had a child. This is the time when this event happened. In a person's mind, an event that is significant becomes his personal Rosh Hashanah. Ezra HaSefer was teaching Klal Yisrael is that you should appreciate the giving of the Torah, the Chavivas HaTorah in your mind should be so significant, it should be your Rosh Hashanah. Even though there is absolutely no makar for Zion Sivan to be a Rosh Hashanah, it's not Nisan, it's not Tishrei, there's nothing special about Zion Vav Sivan, but in your mind, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the Torah, has given you the ultimate gift, in your mind, this should be considered to be your personal Rosh Hashanah, Memela. Tichle Shana Likilo Seha Tochel Shana Ubircha Seha. When we come to this week's Parshas Bichukosai, as far as we are concerned, this is the end of the year, because Shavuos is the beginning of the year.
Landmark.
What? It's a landmark, but it's a landmark that has so much significance it can be enters into the world of halacha. Ad kedei kach, that's how chashuv it should be in our eyes, the chavivos of the Torah. Certainly everyone over here in this room who comes to learn Torah every single day, I don't have to tell you, obviously you have demonstrated the chavivos HaTorah, and indeed in your minds, Zayin Vav Sivan is considered to be the Rosh Hashanah. And it goes, I would say this, we also not to forget, is Shabbos Chazak. It's very appropriate, the end of the year becomes the Shabbos of Chazak, the Nis Chazek. It's the only time you have a Chazak that's taka truly the end of the year. All the other Chazaks do not coincide with any end. All of the Chazaks are just the middle of the year. Here we have a Chazak, Nis Chazek, which coincides with the end of the year, which obviously adds a new dimension to the meaning and the kavana in Chazak. Okay, now let's go to this week's parasha. We'll start with the part from Parashas Bahar. In Parashas Bahar, everyone knows the very first Rashi, very famous Rashi, says, "Bayidaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemar." What's the kasha? Chumash Vayikra begins in Ol Moed. Vayikra El Moshe. How does the parasha begin? Vayikra El Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me Ohel Moed Lemar. So therefore, if everything in Chumash Vayikra is in the Ohel Moed, Rashi says, "My Inyun Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai." Why is the parasha of Shmita? Why is it connected to the theme of Sinai? Ella, Rashi answers, Mashmita Nemru Kililoi Seho. Upir Toi Seho. The Kololois of the Pratim, the general rules and the details, Mi Sinai. Avkulo Nemru Kililoi Sehen, Vidiktu Kehen, Mi Sinai. Rashi explains, Kach Shnui Butaris Kehanim, Venerally, Rashi explains, what does this mean? This is a very critical interpretation of Rashi. Shekach Perusha, Lefi Shaloi Matsinu, Shemitas Karkois, Shenishnesh, Be'arvois, Moyam, Be'mishne Torah. We do not find. We do not find in Nishne Torah, Chumash Devarim, the halachas of Shmita and Yovel. Isn't that amazing? Mishne Torah, there are many halachas that appear in Mishne Torah that do not even appear in the other four Chumashim. For example, Yibum. There is no mitzvah of Yibum in the Mishne, in the four Chumashim, only appears in Mishne Torah. Divorce does not appear in Chumash Devarim. It does not appear in the other Chumashim, only in Chumash Devarim. Kemat, every single mitzvah that appears in Mishneh Torah has already appeared in some form in the other four Chumashim. Yet Shmita is a notable exception. Shmita only appears in Chumash Vayikra. Shmita does not appear in Chumash Devarim. So what is Rashi telling us? It must then be, if it only appears in Vayikra, does not appear in Chumash Devarim, Hashem taught Klal Yisrael every single detail of the halacha. If it's not going to be repeated, obviously there's nothing new to teach. The klolos and the pratim, they're all there. The other mitzvahs, we would be misled to believe that since it's taught twice, once first on one of the chumashim, and again a second time in Devarim, it must be that there were details that were left out at Sinai that had to be filled in by Moshe Rabbeinu in Arvos Mayav. So Rashi over here says that's exactly what this pasuk is coming to teach us. Don't make that mistake. We're comparing all of the mitzvahs, davar haba, davar shayi bichlal, v'yotza min haklal lalamed, loy lalamed al atzma yotza, el lalamed al kol haklal kul yotza. Just like it is a fact that Shemitah, every single little detail was taught in at Har Sinai, so too, all of the mitzvahs, every single detail was taught at Har Sinai. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu, he repeated himself a second time to review with them at Arvos Mayav. Okay, that's shot in Rashi. Now Rashi opens up a whole can of worms. And that is, if that's the case, so very good. We understand what he told us. But why then did Moshe Rabbeinu need to repeat the halachos again in Arvos Mayav and did not need to repeat Shemitah in Arvos Mayav. Until you come across this Rashi, it's very simple. Moshe repeated the halachos at Arvos Mayav because Moshe was filling in the details of the halachos that were not yet known. Because at Har Sinai, Hashem only taught you the generalities. Shemitah was not necessary to repeat because Hashem and Har Sinai taught Klal Yisrael every single little detail. But now that Rashi has taught us that's not the case, that Har Sinai Hashem taught Klal Yisrael the details of every single mitzvah, so now the question is, why then did Moshe Rabbeinu at Har and Aris Moiv only repeat most of the Torah and did not need to repeat Shemitah? So I want to suggest the answer is, it's like when you go to a shir, when you go to, anytime you go to an event, you go to a dinner, you go to anything, there are certain things that stand out. They make an impression upon you. And you don't need to be reminded. And then there are things that, yeah, I was there, I heard it, I saw it, but, you know, it didn't make such a deep impression upon me. I need a little reminder. What exactly did you tell me? What exactly happened at this event? Like, you go to a dinner. So who's the guest of honor? You know who the guest of honor is because the whole dinner revolves around the guest of honor. Then they have secondary guests of honor. Then they have some other announcements, some other events, some other things they want to announce. When you come home from the dinner, do you remember every single little? Someone will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're going to ask you, who else got an award at the dinner? Oh, I have to think who got an award. Who's the guest of honor? I know who the guest of honor is. That's on the tip of your tongue. Of course you know who the guest of honor is. You go to a shir. What was the major yesoid of the shir? Hopefully you know what the major yesoid is. The little details that you need a reminder. What Rashi is revealing is something very, very fascinating. Is that Har Sinai, Hashem taught Klal Yisrael Kol HaTorah Kula. You know what the guest of honor was? It wasn't the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros was repeated. It was repeated again. Chumash Devar, we have the whole Aseres HaDibros all over again in Parashas Veschanan. What was the guest of honor that did not need repeating? Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah and Yovel was the highlight, was the single mitzvah that was so significant that did not need to be repeated again at and Arvos Mayav. What is it about Shemitah and Yovel that is so significant that did not need to be repeated relative to all the other mitzvahs? And the answer is Pashat. Shemitah and Yovel, more so than any other mitzvah in the Torah, captures the theme of Emunah. Ki li ha'aretz. Emunah is going to be a time after 6 years, you leave your land fallow. Parnasa, how in the world can you tell me not to work my field? How am I going to feed my 12 children? How am I going to feed my 50 grandchildren? They're all in Koilel. Who's going to support them? People owe me millions of dollars. I'm going to cancel the debts? It's insane. Go tell this to someone from the secular world that every 7 years, you don't work, and all loans and debts are canceled, all property is returned to the rightful owner, to their owners, and all slaves go, Nirtza goes free, the whole world comes to an end. It doesn't make any sense. Hashem says, you got to trust me. It's my world. Kili kol aretz, it's my world. Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe in me? Do you really have faith in me? Do you really trust in me? And then when you have a yovel, it's really 3 years. It's going to be the tzivisiyas b'chassid b'ashana hashishis. There are 3 years you're not going to be able to work the land. You can't work the land for part of the 6th year, tosef eshvius, and the 7th year. And then you have nothing in the 8th year because you didn't work in the 7th year. Nothing's going to grow until you get start up. 3 years. It represents the theme of emuna in Hashem. Chazal say lahanchil le'ohava yesh. What is yesh? Yesh is Rosh Etevos Yovel and Shemitah. Yesh is also Rosh Etevos Yira Shemayim. They go together. If you really are Yorei Shemayim, you'll be able to get through. You'll be able to get through. It represents the theme of emuna. Now we understand. When you come to Har Sinai, and you saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself. Hashem revealed himself, Chazal said, like a zokein, molei rachamim. He revealed on the Yam, Hashem was like a gibor. And Har Sinai, he was a zokein, molei rachamim. He gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. The clouds opened, and Hashem came down. Hashem came down and gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And Hashem gave Klal Yisrael tayag mitzvos. An enormous amount of information was was transmitted at this moment. When you go home and someone asks you, what happened? What was the major event? What did you learn? What did you learn? I don't remember all the details, but one thing I remember, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. And I have emuna. I have faith that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam and he'll be with me, he'll take care of me. And if I put my trust in him, I'm okay. He was the guest of honor. The Ribbono Shel Olam was the guest of honor. All the nitty gritty and all of the plans and the pledges and the chul v'chul and all the announcements and all that stuff. Listen, you know, I need someone to refresh my memory. That I'm not so good with. I can use a little bit of help. So Moshe Rabbeinu, but I have a stuff along with you know, in the Hanami, we're going to come along. I'll help you. But there's no need for me to repeat to you Shmita and Yovel, because Shmita and Yovel capture the essence of what? Of Emunah. Now you have a much greater appreciation of Chazal saying the pasuk V'hoidatem Levonecha V'levnei Vonecha Yoim Asher Amalto Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'choyrev. You have to tell your children, your grandchildren about the day Asher Amalto Lefnei Hashem Elokecha at Har Sinai. What are you going to tell your children? What are you going to tell them about the intricate details of the laws of Ribbis? About Heta Iska? You're going to tell them about Petach Amor? What are you going to tell your children, your grandchildren, when you tell them about Yoyim Asher Amarata? You're going to tell them about Shmita and Yovel. You're going to tell them that Kili Haaretz, it's Hashem's world. It's Hashem's world, and there's something called Shmita Yovel, the Shabbos, and you have to put your faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the message a parent teaches his child, his grandchild. This is the essence of Sinai. Rashi here is not just telling us a drasha, my inyan shmita etzel har Sinai, mash Sinai kolosecha, shmita kolosecha kolosecha. When Rashi comes to explain it, Rashi is opening up the bigger question. If it's taka true what Rashi says, that Hashem taught Klal Yisrael har Sinai every single mitzvah, so why then did Moshe Rabbeinu repeat shmita at Ma'aris Mayav, like he repeated everything else? There's no need to repeat, because this was the highlight. And the highlight is expressed in terms of emuna b'Hakadosh Baruch.
How do you reconcile that with the said that the sixth year I'm going to give you enough for 3 years? If you have all the photos at the sixth year, what kind of...
You have all the what?
When Hashem says...
The tzivisi is b'chasi b'ashna hashishis.
It says, on the sixth year, I'm going to give you enough for the whole 3 years. So before you actually...
You're asking a very good question. Very popular. There are two popular answers to your question. One question is, just because you have in your storehouses food for 3 years, on the sixth year, people get very nervous. People have enough money in the bank for many generations, and they're workaholics. They're worried. If you're not, just because you have money put away, It's still difficult to worry what's going to be in 3 years. Another answer is, really it's a better answer, is this bracha that Hashem is going to give you triple in the sixth year is a lower madrega. After the parasha begins, it tells you all about Shemitah. It says, what's going to happen if you're going to ask? V'chisomru ma'anoichal b'ashana ha'shviyas. Hey, loy nizra v'len loy nesef estibu aseinu. Oh, you're going to ask? You don't trust me? Okay, I'm going to give you triple. But if you don't ask, guess what? I'm not going to give you triple. I'm just going to give you a regular crop. How am I going to survive? That's next week's parash. But that's for this parash. Parash b'chukosai. You'll eat a small amount, and the food will be blessed. When the sparech b'me'echa will be blessed with, somehow you'll survive. Okay, the big miracle. Somehow you'll survive. You'll just have what's normal in the sixth year and have faith in me, even though I'm not going to give you triple supernaturally. Just somehow you manage. We all know in our own lives. You don't have to be the biggest, big tzad. We all know in our own lives. And many times we don't know. We don't have a good plan. Okay, we just don't have a good battle plan to get through a certain situation. And then we look back. And I don't know what's going to be. I'm not going to be able to afford to do this. I can't afford this. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then somehow it happens anyway. And you look back 2, 3, 4, 5 years later. Wow, I got through it. How did I get through it? How did everything just happen to work out? It's a miracle. Al-Khathili, you don't want to put yourself in such a situation, right? You have to come on to that. But the Torah, to some degree, is demand is telling you, put your faith in me, you don't need triple. You don't need, you'll get through it. You put your faith in me. If you're on a lower madrega where you don't have faith in me, then I will accommodate you in this situation. I will cause it that you will have triple and you will still survive. Right, that's the definition of that.
It may
spoil, so you're still concerned. You still need to come out to Amuna.
How come in Vayigash at the end, after they had 7 years of plenty after the dream, the second year they had nothing left?
Oh, see, very good. Yeah. So one answer is because it stopped.
They were selling everything. By the second year, they came and they sold their land because they got greedy and they didn't understand. So God is telling you over here, don't start selling it because you think only in the sixth year are you going to get this kind of growth. Year number 1 through 5, you're going to live from year to year. Year number 6, I'm going to give you for 3 years. Don't think this is happening all the time.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, let's go to another idea. In Parash of Shemitah, everything in this parash, in the first section of Parash of Bahar, is on the mark. It's all exclusively related to the laws of Shemitah. There are no commercials in this first section. There are no distractions. Every single pasuk from the beginning, we start off what Sheishanim, Uvashon Hashviyas, Esfich Kitzircha, V'chayisah Shabbos Aretz, V'safartlecha, we go into Yovel, and then it talks about V'chisimkumim kolam Yisecha, and b'mispar shanim, the rules of selling land in when there's a shmita, because there's Yovel, it's going to return, you should make the calculations. Every little thing here is on the mark. There's only one pasuk that sticks out. It doesn't appear to have any relevance whatsoever to the laws of shmita, and that is pasuk Yud Zayin. Perek Chaf, pasuk Yud Zayin, v'loy, soinu ish es amiso v'yoreisa me'elokecha ki ani Hashem elokeichen. And it goes on and continues along the theme of Shemitah. What is this pasuk referring to? So you would think it means that when you sell property, when Yovel is in operation, take into account that Yovel is coming, so there's a price. There's a price. How many years do you expect the buyer to have in his possession this property, this piece of land? So you should adjust the purchase price, the selling price, for the number of years. That's what you would expect it to mean. But that's exactly what it says above in the previous pasuk. It says that in the beginning of the parasha, it tells you do not, it says come out the same exact words, al tonu pasuk yudalit, v'chisim gomim kol amisech, oy kono miyad amisech, al tonu ish esachif. So there it tells you that principle that when you're dealing with Shemitah, Yovel, and you're selling property, and there's going to be a calculation to how many years will Yovel arrive, and the land will go back, so make the calculation in the purchase price accordingly. So why the repetition? Who asked this question? Rashi. So what does Rashi say? In Einoi Tzarech Le'inyin Zeh, we don't need it to teach you with regard to taking, charging someone more money than you should. Learn it for an entirely different issue. Oy no'as devarim. Don't be nasty. Don't say nasty things to your friends. Kan, Rashi writes, Pasuk Yitzayin, Hizr al oinoas devorim. Shlo yaknit ish eschavero. Don't provoke your friend. V'lo yasienu itzosh eno hegeneslo. Don't give him advice that is not appropriate. Lufi darkoi v'hanosa shlo yoetz, according to the way of the one who's giving advice. Okay, what's going on over here? What does Oinoas Devarim have to do with Shemitah and Yovel? So I want to suggest the answer is, there are many types of Oinoas Devarim. You can tell a person, you're overweight. It's time for you to lose some weight. You can say to the person, your way of life, your the way you dress, it's not good. You smell, and you're this and you're that. There are many different ways. Trust me, I know ways you can insult. You can insult your fellow man. Many, many ways. The worst insult you can say to a person is in regards to insult his emunah. When you tell a person that you know why this happened to you, it's because you don't have faith in Hashem. Hashem is punishing you. You should have had more faith in Hashem. If you would have listened to me, to the rabbi, to this, and you would have put your faith in Hashem and done this, then this would not have happened. Or you had too much faith in Hashem. You should. You have to do your hashtagos. Why were you a maimon? You have to go out and do what you're supposed to do and take the bull by its horns. You have too much faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That, if you think about, is the worst type of Oino'as Devar. Emunah is something very personal. There are no same way there are no two people who think alike, there are no two people in the world that have the same degree of Emunah. Every person has a different approach, a different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for some people is a proper approach, for other people it's suicide. For some people it's suicide, or some people to do certain things, it shows a lack of faith. Everyone is different. And when we look at other people, it is only human nature to judge their religious, their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our terms, on our scale. That we judge them based upon our relationship. That's foolish. That's the way you relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very different. It's very different than the way he relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone has their unique approach. And certainly when it comes to different groups in Klal Yisrael, okay, every segment, this sect of Hasidim and this sect and this group, modern Orthodox and this group and that group, they have a different approach to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their emun is very different. Well, a Rav, you have to, in a Hanani, it's very hard. You have to generalize. There are certain things which apply to everyone, and then you have to custom
that's
made to your kehila.
I'm talking to myself.
All right. There's two. Everyone is different. Every group is different. Every you want to talk about this on an individual basis, it's true. You want to talk about in a community, a certain kehila. You want to talk about a segment of Klal Yisrael, Hasidim versus Misnagdim, amongst different Hasidim themselves, different groups, modern Orthodox, ultra Orthodox, and this and that. You know, you have to understand something. They're coming from a different place. You don't relate to them. You talk about a different culture. In Eretz Yisrael, they have it's a different culture, a whole different approach to Yadus than in Chutz Li'aretz. In Europe, you see the Jews in Europe, they have also a very different approach. When it comes to religious, your relationship, which I'm putting in this casual phrase of Emunah, it's one thing to go tell a person, you know, you're an ugly person. You you want to go insult him. You're a stupid person. You're an ugly person. You're this person. Okay, so you can say that about a non-Jew as well. You can say it. But then there's telling a person that, you know, your approach to Yadus is dead wrong. Why are you a chassid? Be like me. Be a misnagit. Why are you a modern Orthodox? Be like me. Be a Haredi. Or any other form you want. Or why did you have faith in Hashem? Why didn't you go to school and do this and this and this? You would have had a great parnasa. Why did you go and have faith in Hashem that will provide for you parnasa? Now you're in a lot of trouble. When you talk like that to someone, that's Oino'as Devar. And that's not just Oino'as Devar. That is Oino'as Devar on steroids. That's the spitz of Oino'as Devar. The whole section of Yovel and Shemitah is the essence of Emunah. Kili Haaretz. You're only a guest here in this world, like we said before. This was the highlight of Har Sinai. Har Sinai Moshe didn't need to go and repeat the details of Shemitah and Yovel. We're done. Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah and Yovel is the highlight of Emunah. There was no need for Moshe to repeat. Mimela, it is precisely here. The entire Torah, the Torah could have taught us the laws of Oino'as Devar anywhere in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected to put it here in the parasha of Shemit and Yovel, out of nowhere, is teaching you, watch out. Don't be maknit chavera. Don't tell him, one thing, don't tell him that he's ugly. But in Inyone Emuna, that's the worst. That's the worst place to be mocked to cause a person in Noah's Devarim, and that's why it appears precisely in the parish of Shemitah and Yovel. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let me ask you the question first. The answer I'm going to give you is not a good answer. It's not going to be ultimately satisfying, but let me just try to bring out the question. Why is it that on Pesach at the Seder, when you come to Echad Miyodea, when you come to 9, everything is going good, right? One, two, three. One is Hashem, the Luchos, Ovois, the Imohos, Chamish Chumshe Torah, Shishi Me Mishnah, Shishi Me Shabbata, Shmoni Me Mila. And we really go way off the deep end when we come to the number 9. 9? Tisha Miyodea? Ah, Tisha Miyodea. Tisha Yarche Leida. Tisha Yarche Leida. Right? A woman is pregnant for 9 months. Really? Okay, it's very nice. No one is denying the fact that a woman is pregnant for 9 months, but my in Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, what's that all about? What's 9 years later? So it's very interesting, because in this week's parsha, we have the number 7, obviously, and the number 50, obviously, but we also have very prominently displayed two numbers you would never expect, the number 8 and the number 9. Right, in the parsha Shemitah, it says, the person is going to say, V'chitzoy man noichal v'ashona, V'chitzoy man noichal v'ashona hashavis. Hey, loy nizrav loy nesef estilosena. Let me say, if you were writing the Torah, what would you write? You would probably write, Hashem says, no problem. Vitzivisis brachasila lochem bashona hashishis viosos es hatvol l'shloishonim. 3 years. Memele uzraten es hashona. What would you say now? You'll plan hashona harishona. After year 7 is what? You start the cycle again. Isn't that what you would write if you were writing the Torah? Uzaraten Eis Hashana Harishaina. You'll first plant in the first year, because in the 17 you couldn't plant, so I'm going to start now in the first year. Vachaltem, and don't worry, you'll have what to eat from the old leftovers. Vachaltem Natvor Yoshan Ad Hashana Hashainis. You'll have what until it will grow. When is it going to grow? When is the new crop going to grow? If I'm planting in the first year, when will the new crop come in? In the second year, ad boy tuvuasa tochlu yashan. But guess what? It's not what it says in the Torah. The Torah says vachaltem natvur yashan ad hashana. I'm sorry. Ve'uzratim es hashana hashininis. You're going to plant in the 8th year. Shmita is 7, so the year after Shmita is the 8th year. Vachaltem natvur yashan ad hashana hatishis, until the 9th year. And what's the 9th year? The 9th year is when ad boy tivuasa tochlu yashan. The 9th year is when the new crop comes in. You're going to be eating yashan. Then you'll be eating the old crop. What? This is not the right terminology. There's only 7. There is 7. Shmita is 7, and then starts 1, and then is 2. So what is this? 7, 8, 9. So we want to get confused, since it's for 3 years, so we're going to go to into the next year. So what is going on over here? So I want to suggest over here, the Torah is by mentioning 8, mentioning number 9, it's teaching you Yisoid, what is 8 and what is 9. Now 8 is very easy. 8 is Lamalam Derech HaTeva. The first year is the most difficult year. The first year, what is 8? Eight? 8, I always mention this. What in the Sefer Torah, how do you write the letter Ches in the Sefer Torah? It's 2 Zions. What is the 8th day of the week? Sunday. When you return to the beginning, that's the 8th day of the week. In the Torah, in the Sefer Torah, a Ches are 2 Zions. There are 2 sets of 7. When you go from one set of 7 to the next set of 7, you're going to the 8th. Because the eighth day of the week is when you return to the next cycle of 7. So here, so 8 represents the cycle. But 8 also represents, we know from Yom Tov, from Shmini Atzeres, from Chanukah, it represents Lemala Miderech HaTeva. The 6th year, only a very small part of the year you're not going to be able to prepare because of Tosefes Shvius. But most of the 6th year, you're okay. The 7th year, there is leftovers. The 7th year, Shemitah, you're still going to be able to survive off the aftergrowth of the 6th year. The really difficult year to survive, Lemala Miderech HaTeva, is the first year. Because the first year of the cycle, you have 0. Shemitah, it's hard. You're not working the field. The main problem of Shemitah is you're not preparing for the future. Shemitah, there are crops that grow within the year itself, but there are things that have been planted in the 6th year that overlap into the seventh year, and you'll have, assume, some reserves, some supplies from the sixth year going into the seventh year. The critical moment, the critical difficulty of survival is what? Is the first year. Because the first year of the cycle, you have absolutely nothing. Being that the entire seventh year, you did not prepare. You'll have what to eat in the seventh year, because the seventh year is really going to be the leftovers of the sixth year. I work in the Mi Shemechen Be'erev Shabbos, Hu Yochal B'Shabbos. You prepare in the sixth year, you'll have what to eat in Shabbos. Shabbos, you can't do any melacha, but everything you have in Shabbos is a preparation from the sixth, right? So you'll have. But the eighth year, what are you going to have? Eighth year, I did not make any preparations in the year of Shemitah, so the eighth year, I have absolutely nothing. That's the year that is eight. Eight is Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Hashem says, don't worry. I am Hashem. Nothing is beyond me. I can do things for you that are even Lamala Miderech HaTeva. You know when the big Nisayin comes? The ninth year. What's the ninth year? The ninth year is, now this is something new, because you never hear about this. You hear about seven, Teva. You hear about eight, Lamal Derech HaTeva. But then there's nine. There's something that's even higher than Lamal Derech HaTeva. And that is the ninth year. The ninth year, I'm gonna have plenty. Because in the eighth year, I'm gonna work my head off. I'm gonna plant, I'm gonna plow, I'm gonna seed. And in the ninth year, the crop's gonna be unbelievable. I'm gonna be refreshed after a year of vacation. I'm gonna have everything. The ninth year is the biggest Nisayon. Because the ninth year is when the test, is when you're tested to recognize, do you now recognize that even nature is a miracle? See, seven is pure nature. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any complaints again. If you don't want to recognize that it's me, fine. You believe in the sciences? Fine, I understand. You are, after all, a Basar V'Dam. What could I expect from you? In the eighth year, wow, that's miracles. It's l'malam derech hateva. Hashem rules the world. But now that you have that blend, you have the experience of seeing teva, and the experience of witnessing l'malam derech hateva, is now when the challenge begins. Do you recognize that even in teva, even in the basic teva, everything that you have is really the Yad Hashem. It's really directly a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the number nine. That's why the Torah is defining it not as the second year, but as the ninth year. We're going in higher madregos. The first madrega is Haneg Bohem Minig Derech Eretz. 7 years. Now let's go to a new madrega. Recognize this is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's L'mailo Miderech HaTeva. Now go to the highest madrega. We're going higher and higher. Nine. You know what nine is? Synthesize Haneg v'minig derech eretz with realizing the Yad Hashem of l'malam derech hateva. And now challenge yourself to recognize even when it's Haneg v'minig derech eretz, it's really the Yad Hashem. It's 100% HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. And that is why we're calling it the ninth year. Because the ninth year is not just a new cycle. We're building madregos. We're building madrigals, 7, 8, 9. The highest madriga is the synthesis of the 7 and the 8. Now we can understand, drush, why it's taka tisha yarcheleda. Tisha yarcheleda, the child is born. It is the most natural thing in the world. Right? There are 7 billion people in this world. Everyone was born from a mother. Everyone came out of a mother. Everyone, the mother. So this is Teva. And this has been going on for 5,777 years. Big deal. Except for Marisha. Big deal. It's Teva. This is nature. Nature. This is the most elementary form of nature that a person is born. That's where it all starts. Yet, if you think about it, there is absolutely no greater miracle in this world than the birth of a healthy child. The half-lived fella, a tipa serucha, enters a place of tinoifes, of filth and blood, and 9 months later comes out the most complex creature in this world. And inside the mother's womb all of Nikovim, Nikovim, Chalulim, Chalulim, Golui, Vidul, Lufnei, all that bracha, some say is all reference to the child inside, and at the moment, they still don't know today. We read online all the mysteries of how is it punctual when the mother gives birth, all of a sudden the baby now begins to breathe and everything, there's a transfer of power from the mother to the child. It happens at this moment in time. How does all that work? Doesn't make any sense. It's the biggest miracle that a healthy child can be born from a mother after 9 months, but yet it's the most natural thing in this world. That's the number 9. It's not an accident in the Torah that a human being comes into existence after 9 months. Tisha miyodea. Tisha miyodea. Tisha yarche leida. It's the most natural thing, and yet it's the biggest miracle. It's the synthesis between the two. Where in the Torah do you find the number 9? The number 9 expressing synthesis. You find it here in this week's parasha. There is 7, there is 8, and then you're going to eat ad hashana hatishiyis. Because in the shana hatishiyis is the boat to who asah, you're going to eat your own grain. So why is it the 9th year? Why isn't it the 2nd year? That's the challenge. Is it just, are you starting from the beginning? Or have you learned the lessons to build, to synthesize 7 and 8 and reach a new madrega of 9 to appreciate that Teva is really the Yad Hashem, the Tisha Yarchi Leida? This is perhaps a little hinted message, a hint over here, a message in this week's parasha. Okay. What?
I could have used it
yesterday. What was yesterday?
A bris.
A bris. Okay, let's now go to another idea. I saw Vart. And this bar is
a bris is on the 8th, and when he grows and gets married, it becomes the 9th.
Parshas Bichukosai, moving ahead. Im Bichukosai, Teilechu, Viesmitzosai, Tishmu, Vasisim, some Rashi. Yes, what's the repetition? Bichukosai can't mean mitzvah, because it already says the mitzvah. So Rashi says Bichukosai means Amelim Mitoira. Beautiful Rashi, we all know this Rashi. It means have you Amelim Mitoira, or the first. Beautiful Rashi, beautiful way to start the parasha. Amelis b'Torah. I saw a drush. I don't remember where I saw this, but in the drush it explained. It said that the words im b'chukosai teilechu refers to the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, and it doesn't just mean wearing tefillin. It means if you will walk around the whole day with your tefillin on. Why? How in the world would you connect the word bichukosai to the mitzvah of tefillin? The answer is because it says the last pasuk of the parasha tefillin is vishomarta es hachuka hazos lemoada miyamim yamima. You shall guard this chukah. How many mitzvahs? Karm Pesach is called the chok. This is called the chok. There aren't that many mitzvahs that are called the chok. From all the chukim in the Torah, which one can you say, can you apply the expression teilechu? You're going to walk. Tefillin. If you're wearing tefillin and you're walking around, you go to Avenue J, Avenue M, Coney Island, you're wearing tefillin. Okay. You're wearing tefillin in bichukosai teilechu. Then you go and get the brachas. You're going to get the brachas. All of the brachas are going to follow. V'nosati gishmeichem b'itam v'chul v'chul v'chul. So the question is, my inyan shmita eitzel har Sinai. What in the world is the mitzvah of we're walking around in the street, which we don't do today? We wouldn't dare do this today. Okay, no, it's not the proper thing to do today. But my inyan shmita eitzel har Sinai, fill in with all of the brachas that follow in this parsha. So I want to suggest the answer is you have to look very carefully at the end of Parshas Behar. Commentators are always very, very curious as the smichos of parshas. Why does one parsha connect to the next parsha? The end of the parsha, the very long chunk of the parsha, of the end of Parsha Bahar, describes what happens if a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan, is sold to a goy. A Jew steals. It's a whole long process. First he steals, then he sells his property, he sells his field, he sells his house, he sells this, sells that. And if he doesn't get the message that it's time to do teshuvah, the day is going to come when he's going to be sold to a guy. He's going to be sold as a slave to a guy. Even worse, he'll be sold as a janitor in a church. He'll work in the church. He'll be one of the custodians of the church. What kind of bigger design is thinking about shidduchim? What does the father do? Well, he's the custodian in the church. It's not exactly a very bad kavodika job for a nice Jewish boy to work. What? You know, that is not he might come to do so. So the pasuk goes on and tells you all the rules. There's a lot of rashis here. Rashis says, first of all, we're dealing over here with Zman. We're dealing over here at a time when the Jew, the Klal Yisrael, they are in control. They are calling the shots. And it says, yad ger, v'nimkar. And the Jew is going to be sold like ger, which means a ger toshav, a non-Jew, imach, oyle eker, or to an avodah zorah, mishpachas ger. So it says, one of your relatives should come and redeem you. Your uncle, your aunt, your cousin. If you don't have a relative, don't worry. You're not going to serve long, more than 50 years. This Yovel. Whenever Yovel comes, maybe you're lucky, Yovel's around the corner, it's only in 10 years, you'll be out in 10 years. You're sentenced. Then it goes on to say, now here's where Rashi comes in, very critical. When it comes time to go, or even if it does not, before it comes time to go, now if you're going out with Yovel, then that means we're dealing in the Zman, when Klal Yisrael is in charge. Who's calling the shots here? Klal Yisrael. Just happens to be this person needs money, so he sells himself to a guy. Being that Klal Yisrael is in charge, you follow our rules. So when it's Yovel, the guy has no choice but to relinquish the Jew. So once already the Jews are in control, maybe we can manipulate, we can play the system. We'll tell the guy, you know, when we redeem him, we're not going to pay you full price. After all, you know, he's a Jew. And you know, the quality of work, you know, v'chulu, we can fix the system. No, Torah says, be very careful. When you redeem him, you make sure you don't play games. Even though you're in charge, watch out for Chilul Hashem. The Chishavim Koineu, making a precise calculation, Mishnas Himachlu from the time that he was sold, at Shnas Hayovel, Hoya Kesimim Krom, Mispar Shmachar, Akimes Sechir Yeimo. If there are many years, V'chulu, let me just read you Rashi. Rashi says here very powerful words. Uvinochri, Shetachas Yotcha Kosov Medav. We're dealing here with a situation where the Jews are in control. The af al pi chen, lo savoy olav ba'akifin. Don't play games, tricks with the guy. Mibnei chilul Hashem. Be scrupulously honest in your dealings with this guy. Ela kishabol li goel yedaktik b'cheshbon. Be precise in all the calculations. Lefi hamagia b'chol shana v'shana yinakilom l'hanachim min damav. Okay, he goes on to elaborate. Then the son go on to say, by the way, since already you're being sold to a guy, you're working for a guy, watch out. Just because you're working for a guy, don't think that you're exempt from the mitzvos. Lo sase lochem elilim. Don't make for yourself idols. And don't think that you don't have to observe Shabbos. I'm working for a guy, so I have no choice. Because I have to be mechal Shabbos. No, when you contract yourself out for a guy, make sure you have Shabbos off. Es Shabbos osai tishmoiru. And also, if you're working for a guy, don't forget that there are holy things. There are holy things. Just because you're working for a guy, you have to be nizer in all matters of sanctity, whether it's the Beis HaKnes, whether it's any matter of sanctity. Rashi elaborates. Rashi says, Rashi over here explains, Shelo yoimar, Pershanatze hoil sins virabi, Migala Arayos, my master, I'm sold to a guy, my Rebbe, my master, he does Agili Arayos, Afanika my son. Hoyl the rabbi, Ovidavar Sukhav, Afanikamaisa, Hol the rabbi, Michal Shabbos, Afanikamaisa, Lakach Nemar, Mikros Halalu, all these psukim to tell you just because you sold yourself to a guy does not exempt you from any one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So make sure you don't make a Chilul Hashem, don't steal from your master, don't manipulate the system, don't, and make sure you observe Shabbos, and make sure you don't do Avodah Zarah, and make sure you observe your mitzvahs, and just make sure until your sentence is over. And then the parsha ends, and then we go into Im Bichko Saite Lechu. So basically, this last chunk, it's a major chunk of the parsha, from Pasuk Mem Zayin, all the way until the end of Parshas Bahar, deals with the situation when a Jew finds himself under the authority of a non-Jew. And the Torah says, wow, that's pretty scary. A Jew is under the authority of a non-Jew because of your sins. Be very careful. Be very careful. Make sure you still a Shomer Shabbos. Make sure you have a nice Beis HaKnesses. Mikdoshi Tirohu. And treat the Beis HaKnesses with Derech Eretz. Make sure you don't make a Chil Hashem by your guy. Make sure you don't be Nichshol in Gilui Arayos. What is this a mashal for? Golos. This whole last section, the Klal Yisrael, this man in America. Who's our host? What? Who's the host? When you're in Golos, 2,000 years. The whole Klal Yisrael is begeder pasuk chaf hey to the end of pasuk chaf. Pasuk mem zayin in the parsha. This is the whole Klal Yisrael. We have sinned, and our sins have reached such a point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu expelled us from the land. We weren't just able to sell our property into this. We are now sold to Goyim. We live in a foreign country. We are under their jurisdiction. We have to follow their rules. Hashem says, okay, you're under the control of the non-Jews, of the Ummah HaSa'olam, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in America, whether you're here, whether you're there. Watch out. Just because you're in Golus, you're under their jurisdiction, make sure you remain Shomrei Shabbos. Make sure you nizer in all the laws of Arayis. Make sure you're not mechalel my name by being honest in your business dealings. And then what does it say? Im b'chukosai teilechu. If you'll keep your tefillin on and you walk, then don't worry. Even in Golos, I'll give you every bracha in the book. What is b'chukosai teilechu? You'll be wearing your tefillin and you'll walk in the street. What is the tefillin? What's on the tefillin? The shin. What is the shin? The Shem Hashem. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz. Kishem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, no one sees your, and there's no goyim, no one sees your tefillin. It's the inyan of wearing, going and walking with your tefillin to provoke the rohu kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha is a perfect segue. It's a perfect conclusion to the Golus. You're in Golus, you're under their jurisdiction, but you're going to be mekayim my mitzvahs. You're going to tell your boss, I can't come on Shabbos. You're going to tell your boss, I'm not going to go to this party. It's pritzos. You're going to tell your boss, you made a mistake. I'm an honest man. I want to return the money that you gave me by mistake. In b'chukosai teilechu, you're going to wear those tefillin. The summary of the entire section at the end of Bahar is summarized in a few words. You'll wear the tefillin shel roish. You'll wear upon your head the Shem Hashem. And the goyim will take note. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz. Ah, taka. These are honest people. These are dignified people. These are holy people. They'll see the Shem Hashem ki nikra olecha v'yaru mimecha. And then you know what? I'll give you, even in Golos, all of the brachas v'nasati gishmechem b'itam v'nas naretz yivula v'eitz hasod yitin piri v'chul v'chul. You'll be zoiche to all the brachas of parashas b'chukosai. It's unbelievable. This little innocent vart, b'chukosai teilechu, which you think is out of left field, out of the middle of nowhere. If you'll wear my tefillin, v'shamart es ha'chuko hazois, and you'll walk around with it, you'll be exposed in Avenue M, in Avenue J, wearing the tefillin. Then, guess what? You're in good news is for you. What my high lahai? You don't understand. We're not on that. This is in the middle of no parash b'chukosai. It's just a continuation of parash asbahar. And the parash bahar tells you how to deal, how to live among goyim. Hashem says, if you'll be Makadesh Shem Shemayim among the Goyim, then you're in good shape. Okay, last Vart, very quickly out of time, last Vart. What is the Inyan after the B'toychacha we come to Erechin, Arochin? I have to tell you, my whole life, I was almost never so disturbed. Something that I saw this week online. Two things happened this week, which really, really shook me to my core. Number one, Lag BaOmer, Meir Sha'arim, Charedim, they burned an effigy of a soldier. They burned Israeli flags. Yesterday, 2 days ago, they did a sting operation in Meir Sha'arim. The army sent in a soldier, and they sent police in hiding, and they waited for the soldier to be harassed by Charedim, and they swooped down and arrested the Charedim. And the whole video is online. You can watch the whole thing. The Chil Hashem is just off the charts. Noir of Oyev. Okay, now, that's bad enough. The next item in the news is Hebrew University. Yeah. They decided we're not going to sing Hatikva. Right. We don't want to insult the Arabs. We have a few Arab students. Their feelings are so important to us, we don't. Now, Hebrew University, I don't know if you know, is the spitz of the left. Okay, we're not dealing there with people at Hebrew University, by and large, are not from the Haredim, to say the least. It's shocking. You have the two extremes, the two mamish, the two bookends of Klal Yisrael, with absolutely no appreciation to the hand that's feeding them. And the Chil Hashem is just, it's one thing, you know, you hear a story like this, okay, nothing is new. You hear a story like this, nothing is new. Together, on the same day, Mea Sha'arim and Hebrew University, both of them saying, both of them, no Hatikva? And I'm going to burn an effigy of a soldier to burn the flare? It's just shocking. Shocking, shocking, horrifying. And if Hashem is showing this to us, Hashem is telling us, Mo Hashem, today, you know, everything is online. If you see this, Mo Hashem Elokecha Doresh Meimach, Shol Meimach Kim Liyiroi. So we're seeing this. Every person has within him extreme elements. Okay, every person is a microcosm of the whole Klal Yisrael. Every person has within them an element, a dimension of extremism as well, both in the left and the right. And this is a very powerful message to us. We have in this week's parasha the Teichacha. What comes after the Teichacha? Arachin. My inyan zeh itzel zeh. So I saw in the Sefer beautiful vart. Arachin represents the part of Arachin is ki ish ki yafli. There's a wondrous thing to give to the Beis HaMikdash, the value of a person. The only way the Teichacha, the total number of klolos in the Teichacha, there are different calculations, but according to the Baal HaTurim, there are 98 in Parshas Kisavo and 45 in Parshas, for a grand total of 143. And if you add up all of the values of the Arachin, of the men and women together, how much does it come out to exactly? 143. Look in the Baal HaTurim, the number, the sum total of all of the valuations of man, woman, all the various ages together is 143. Corresponding to the 143 kilolos of the combined teichachos, the Baal HaTurim. Obviously, the antidote to the teichacha is the parsha of Arachin. What is the parsha of Arachin? There are two elements in the parsha of Arachin. This is a very beautiful idea. It's not my idea. It's this idea in the Sefer. Number one is to appreciate the value of another human being. But that's not enough. What do you do with that money? How does Parashas, this is the part, the real part, that is the beauty of the Vart, which it's not obvious. The person would not necessarily get this. Ish ki yafli neder be'erkecho nefashois la'Hashem. Not just to evaluate a person as value, to recognize the sanctity, the Kedusha, and to say that sanctity belongs in the Beis HaMikdash. The money you give for the Erechon belongs in the Beis HaMikdash. If a person, every single person, when you look at someone else, you recognize his sanctity, his value. And it's not just the value of money, but it's the value of La Hashem. Then already you're halfway there. That already is the antidote to all of the klolos in the Teichacha. Hashem is showing us these horrible images. Hashem is being toiveya from us. That in our, every person himself, in their extreme dimensions of their personality, you got to appreciate what you got. And you have to appreciate these two extreme groups. They don't appreciate. They didn't learn Parashas Erechin. They don't appreciate that there's someone else. There are other factions in this world which have given them something. And there's what to appreciate. There's what to recognize. There's what to be makir toif to. That is the complete antithesis of what Parashas Erechin is. And that is what the Torah is being toiveya in order to remove and to dismiss the Teichacha, is to appreciate everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKol Baro L'Chvoidei, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created has sanctity, has its place, has its mission, has its purpose, has its goal, and through them and through us, Hashem will bring bracha upon the entire world. Have a wonderful Shabbos.